Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time for another edition of the sports page, and there is a score that's been settled, that's been brewing for a long time. Fred Friedman, Kyle Erickson, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
So Fred, we'll let you take it away as far as what's going on and explain that with the Negro League in baseball.
Major League Baseball decided what they should have decided a half a century or more ago, to change the record book and include the Negro League statistics in Major League Baseball records. That means the top 10, the top 20, I don't care whether it's RBIs, batting average, home run, fielding percentage, one-loss record, ERA, slugging, run score, WAR, RAP, SMAP, SAP, you know, Kyle Erickson statistics, whatever. The record book is going to be redone to include the Negro Leagues, which should have been occurred a long time ago. Folks, people that you never heard of, like John Henry Lloyd and Oscar Charleston, and people you have heard of, like Josh Gibson and Satchel Paige, every bit as good. Every bit as good as white folks' best. And Judge Landis and the owners kept them out of the major leagues for almost a century. So way overdue. Congratulations to Commissioner Manfred.
Kyle, thoughts?
Fred mentioned John Henry Lloyd, and Babe Ruth famously said that Pop Lloyd was the greatest baseball player of all time.
That's true.
That's pretty heady praise coming from Babe Ruth, who a lot of people who maybe aren't familiar with Negro League baseball might think of as the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
On the statistics front, it's hard to say how much it'll really show up in the record book, because there wasn't the statistics weren't as thoroughly kept in the early years of the Negro Leagues as they were in Major League Baseball. But there's no doubt, you know, Satchel Paige is one name from the Negro Leagues that a lot of people might recognize because he went on to play in the major leagues. And what's so interesting about that, and thinking about how different the record books might look, is Satchel Paige dominated in Major League Baseball when he was in his late 40s. His late 40s. If he had played in Major League Baseball in his prime, we might have the Satchel Paige Award instead of the Cy Young Award.
So, Fred, what... So, like Kyle's saying, statistics were not taken that good a care of back then. Excuse me. How will they be recognized? Will only the ones that were later, like Satchel Paige, be in the record books?
Yeah. It looks like it's going to be awful hard to recognize anything before 1920, when records weren't kept at all. The sabermetric people say the offensive statistics, run scored, RBIs, home runs, they got that stuff. But the defensive statistics, runs saved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's going to be very, very hard to do. So we'll see how it happens. On the other hand, Major League statistics are questionable, too. Before 1910, if you scored from second on a single, they gave you a stolen base on that extra base. So there was a time that if you bounced the ball into the stands, it wasn't a double, it was a home run.
What?
All statistics. What? Yeah, so all statistics are a little questionable. They're doing their best. But, hey, the intent could not be more honorable. I think we all agree. And these folks weren't treated right. And always remember this. In barnstorming trips before and after the season, the major leaguers, they all played against the Negro League players. Gehrig and Ruth and Hornsby, you know, they all played against these folks. And they weren't integrated, because Commissioner Landis wouldn't permit it, and a lot of Major League players were from the South, people like Cobb and Speaker, et cetera, et cetera. But they knew. They knew these guys were every bit as good as they were.
So, Kyle or Fred, where were these games played? Were they played in Major League stadiums? And what was the attendance like back in Negro League games?
They were played in Major League stadiums. Comiskey Park in Chicago and Wrigley and Sportsman's Park in St. Louis and in Philadelphia and the Polo Grounds in New York. They were played there. And the attendance was like Major League Baseball. It was outstanding. It was full on the weekends, on afternoon games. People worked for a living. And it's not like Black America could say, hey, give me an extra week of vacation, boss. It didn't work that way. So, yeah, that's how it was. And, of course, most of these statistics, when the Negro League was at its best, was in a pre-night game world. Night games didn't hit the major leagues to the very late 30s.
Well, good job. I'm glad that that decision has been made.
Historic.
Yep, that's good. So let's move on. Let's talk about the Minnesota Gophers men's basketball. They were 6-0, and they got their butts whipped by 27 points against Illinois, who has a man-child for a post. And you can see we're losing Arturo, Kyle. Has hurt us.
Yeah, it was a bit of a rude awakening. And the Gophers hadn't played all cupcakes. It had been a pretty soft schedule. But, they beat Boston College, which at least is a power conference team. And then they get to Illinois, ranked 13th in the country. And I didn't bother to watch a lot of it because it was apparent pretty early on how the game was going to end up. It'll be interesting to see if it can be a wake-up call and they can raise the level of their play a little bit, or if this is a harbinger of a rough season, because they get St. Louis next, and then they got third-ranked Iowa, fourth-ranked Michigan State, 12th-ranked Wisconsin, 20th-ranked Ohio State, 25th-ranked Michigan, all in a row, and then Iowa and Michigan again after that. So,
oh my gosh,
we'll find out real quick what they're made of.
So
they're saying this is the strongest Big Ten basketball talent since 1989 when they put three teams in the Final Four.
Why wasn't that Garza available this year when we got the number one draft pick? Isn't that his name, Garza, for Iowa, the post?
Garza, yeah, he wanted to stay.
He's a man-child. Unbelievable.
I got a question for you guys. The Gophers got this kid from Iowa. His name begins with a K. Kelscher.
Yeah,
Kelscher had a great shooting year as a freshman. Shot 38% from the three-point line. His last 2 years has been high schoolish, and he keeps shooting the ball. What's going on there?
I think
you don't see people decline like that.
I think he rooms with Dan Bailey.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've noticed that his shooting has really declined.
Oh, I've said that all the time. He's like 3-for-12, 2-for-8.
Yeah.
Sometimes he might make a few, but yeah, it's a great decline, and it's just it's got to be mental. I mean, he had a great stroke, and Dan Bailey had a great stroke too. And once it gets into your head, I just don't know. Kyle, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, Kelscher, he always had a really flat shot, which if you think about, the kind of the physics of how a ball can make it into the hoop, the less arc you have on your shot, the less area you have of the hoop to make it through. And so there with guys like, when I grew up, I loved watching Rodney McCray play. You guys maybe remember him.
Oh, yeah, from Louisville.
Just line drive
Scooter
jump shot.
Rodney McCray.
Yeah, line drive shot.
And when you're on, you can pour it in, but you don't have to be off by a lot, and there's just not as much margin for error. And I wonder if it might need a little mechanical tweak and get a little more loft on his jump shot to give him more margin for error, because he looked like a future star his freshman year.
Yeah. And the Gophers women are struggling big time. They're getting throttled as well. So,
but plus they have illness. Plus they got health issues.
Health issues, but they are getting some good recruits. I see the Gophers football team lost their... Well, I guess they maybe didn't lose their number one recruit. He just hasn't made up his mind yet. The Vikings, I don't even know what to say about the Vikings. The offensive line, of course, has done... They march right down the field. They look like a Super Bowl team. And then Bailey misses a kick, and then he misses a field goal, and everything went downhill from there.
Yeah, and it's not just one game. He's missed three extra points and four field goals in the last two games. That's pretty tough.
Yeah. Fred,
guys, I wanted to mention this crazy story out of Auburn where they go 6-4. They fire their coach.
Yeah.
They have this huge plot not to let the public or the press know how much they got to pay this guy for firing him. Keep in mind, Auburn's a public university. Not private. It's not Vanderbilt or Tulane. It's public. So finally it comes out, this guy's payoff for getting fired is $21
million. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Now, John, even you, Kyle, even you at Blandon would accept the firing if the payout was $21 million.
I'd work my best at it.
And you know what you had to do then?
Oh, my gosh.
Thank your agent that negotiated the contract.
Yeah, it's hard to put in perspective when people are don't have places to sleep and they can't eat, and we got coaches that are getting paid golden Cadillacs for $21 million.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's insane. It's ridiculous. It's insane.
So let's go to trivia because we're going to have to get going here. On February, this is basketball now, on February 9th, 1895, Kyle, what two Minnesota schools played in what was considered to be the first intercollegiate basketball game? Nobody knows that.
Hamlin and the University of Minnesota.
Oh, my gosh. Hamlin University and the Minnesota State School of Agriculture in St. Paul. Judges, is that good? Of course. Of course it's good. That's amazing. The Ag School won 9-3.
Barn burner. Yep. A lot of defense.
Nine men on each team, a goalie, and a peach basket with no backboards. No dunking, of course. What sister and brother are in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame?
Cheryl Miller, and Reggie would be the first to tell you that his sister was a better player than he.
Yeah, you're right.
Great, good job, Kyle.
Who's the only coach in basketball history to win an NCAA men's title and an NBA title? He won the I can't give you that. Do we know? Who is the only coach in basketball history to win an NCAA men's title and an NBA title?
My first guess is Larry Brown.
Your first guess is right. Good job.
Thank you.
Who are the four coaches in the Naismith Hall of Fame that were also inducted as players? Two are ex-Celtics, who won NBA titles as players and coaches. One was an All-Star American at Purdue and coached only in college. And the other was a 9-time NBA All-Star All-American at Providence and won the NBA title coaching the Seattle Supersonics.
John Wooden, for sure.
Yep.
I think Bill Russell, for sure. Is that right?
Nope.
No.
That's a good question.
Tommy Heinsohn.
Yes, you got two. Those two are correct. Think of Seattle. Think of who their coach was.
It was George Karl for a long time.
We're going.
But he didn't seem like he'd have been a championship player.
I got an idea. Is it Lenny Wilkins?
Yes, there you go.
Oh, very good.
And what's the fourth?
Bill Sharman. Bill Sharman's the other one.
Bill Sharman.
Here we go. Since 2015, the Naismith Hall of Fame has given awards each year to the top Division I player at each of the five positions. The Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award is given to the top center. The top power forward award is named after the 14-time NBA All-Star who played in college at Louisiana Tech.
The great Bob Pettit, and he's still alive.
No. Karl Malone.
Karl Malone,
sure.
Good. What two Olympic teams are enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
The 1960 Olympic men's Olympic team?
Yep.
And probably the 92 men's Olympic team.
Yep, the dream team. The 60 team had Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, and Jerry Lucas on their team. And the dream team, we don't even need to say that. They had the best players possible.
I stayed home to watch that game on TV in 1960. Between the Russians and the U.S.
Oh.
All Oscar Robertson did was lead the Americans in scoring, assists, rebounds, and steals in that game. That's all.
Who was the head coach of the 1992 men's Olympic basketball team? And there's a hint if necessary.
That guy from Detroit.
Gosh, Fred, that's amazing.
Chuck Daly.
Wow. Two more. What school has won three of the last four NCAA men's basketball titles? Three of the last four. What? Men's?
Division one?
I didn't think they had a little dynasty going here. I'd have to think on that.
Maybe, Scott, maybe the senior correspondent's getting a little more senior. I'm not quite sure. But he says Villanova. I don't know.
No.
Okay.
They've only won one.
Has won.
Yeah, Villanova won in 2018. But last year, wasn't
I'm
it?
I'm going to have to, with it, in the last second shot, I'm going to have to call Cole.
You're going to have to get on the phone and talk to the person in charge of these trivia questions. Last one before we go. This week, Tara Vandeveer passed Pat Summitt for the most wins for a coach in women's basketball history. What college team does she coach?
Stanford.
Yeah. Well, she's been around a long time. So have you guys.
She sure is. hey, somebody joked and said that I have way up the seniority list at KAX.
Oh, you have. See you, boys. Thanks a lot. That was fun.
Have a good day.
Yep.